This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek show number 682 with guest Aaron Lawrence, recorded on July 2nd, 2026. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. A lot of them tonight. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation. All for the average tech guy and gal. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska. I say beautiful, super hot outside. You're like, Jim, why are you in a hoodie? The coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in my house in Bellevue, Nebraska. The wife, who she's right over there, she keeps it pretty chilly in the house.
So, and in the basement, more so.
I'm a little cold. Aaron, welcome. How are things? How's the weather in your area?
Yeah, it's a little on the cool side. We have yet to see the hot summery weather here in Calgary. Yep.
What?
It's been kind of unseasonably cooler and really rainy. We've had floods. Okay. We've had washouts. Oh. We've had bridges wiped out. It's been dramatic here. So. Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on in Canada? Fires, now floods, wiping things.
Bam, I'm tempted to make a bingo card.
Yeah, for sure. Like a disaster bingo card?
Yeah, disaster bingo card.
Is Banff okay? I know it's close to you guys, right? I mean, that's
it's very close. Yeah.
Are they okay there? Or is this where the
mostly, yeah. The rivers are pretty high. They had in Kananaskis country, which is sort of just adjacent to Banff, another great place for people to check out. They've had a lot of flooding in Kananaskis country, and that's where a lot of the bridges have washed out and things. So yeah, it's, I think everybody for the most part is okay, but there's a lot of water right now.
Okay. Well, sorry. Stay safe. You're down in the valley, but, Tony says, semi-quincentennial. There we go. Semi-quincentennial is what the 250th, we were talking about that maybe in the pre-show. And so that's what 250, we're talking about 4th of July and all those other things, but, glad you're okay. And, we'll hope folks there in your area stay safe. A couple of reminders, speaking of staying safe, big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. That didn't really transition well. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers that each and every month support the channel. Appreciate you guys. We have one plan, $5, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. If you want to jump onto that. And then big thanks. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned I was trying to get, Aaron and I, you were talking about this in the pre-show. I was trying to get all the APIs open for Hermes and OpenClaw. And the last one was the affiliate creators, the Amazon affiliate creators API. Uh-huh. And you have to have a certain number of transactions or whatever. And so I reached out to the community and said, hey, can you go to theaverageguy.tv, click on the link, just get me past it. And they got me past it.
Oh, now, yay.
That being said, I took that API, jumped, threw it into to OpenClaw or Hermes, one of the two, said, let's do some fun things. Ended up corrupting like 65 pages of my WordPress site. Yeah.
Oh.
Which I had to go back and have it help me fix. You know, we got them all fixed. I'm not sure the links work. I don't know. You know, this is the thing with AI.
Gonna have to do it the old-fashioned way.
We're not, for regular listeners, I know you're sick of AI. We've been talking about it every week. We're not going to spend a ton of time thinking about that. But Aaron, that's one of those things. Like, you think there's all these promises of, oh, how great would this be?
Everything's easy. Yeah.
The thing runs away on you, right? And you're like,
it goes rogue. Hallucinations, rogue behavior. Yeah.
No. And the crazy thing is, we haven't perfected it yet. The longer they run, the worse they get. So if you, like, you got to kind of keep them, you know, gatekept, so to speak. Yeah. You got to put some guardrails. This is what ChatGPT is like. Oh, you got to put guardrails on OpenClaw and Hermes. I'm like, what about you, my friend? I mean,
it's like a game of telephone. Like, as the message gets passed down, it's almost being paraphrased, you know, every step of the way. And it, yeah. I'm sure they will find a way to fix that in the future, but who knows?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. Well, we're both, as content creators, I'm always kind of thinking, like, if I could get some of these to kind of help me with some of the content creation, And I've been working at it for 12 or 13 or 14 weeks. I don't know if it's, yeah, I don't know if it's any better. Some things are complete. Some things are worse. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Keep going, Jim. You've come this far. You can do it. You can get there.
Well, I was mentioning to you, and I've been writing, so I've got 5 now posts at theaverageguy.tv. Although, if you go out today, my certificate expired, and I can't get a hold of Christian at the moment. So you can't go to theaverageguy.tv right now. If you're listening live right now, it's down. It'll be up shortly. Don't panic, friends. It's fine. It'll be okay. Nobody's going to die. It'll be okay that the site's down for a couple days. But it is one of those things, you know, as you think about this process of it. I don't know, Aaron. It's just sometimes it works brilliantly. Like I've gotten some things to work on the home automation side of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's sometimes in the content creation world, you're like, it couldn't write its way out of a wet paper bag.
Yeah.
You know, so anyways, it's
I find it's hit or miss as well, but yeah. I do still think it's worth learning and trying and keeping trying at things because it's going to get there eventually.
I think you have to just keep kind of stay in it, work what keeps working. There we go for you. But otherwise, you know, it's just going to be, it's not perfect. And I think sometimes I come to it like, oh, this is going to change my world. And you're like, actually, that was a disappointment.
Well, it is going to change your world. It's going to make you stay down in your basement office for 14 for or 18 sure. hours and keep plugging away at
week,
it.
I've had the week off. So I've been spending, I took some staycation and I was like, you know what? Some guys work on their cars. Some guys work on their yard. I was like, you know what? I'm going to spend a couple days working on the AI just to see if I can see where I can go with it. I have some real wins. I have some real losses. And
a lot of learning.
Yeah, a lot of learning. It's taught me to think a little bit differently about the way I stage things, even in the production sense of like when we do podcasts, thinking through like, hey, it's not about just jumping on here. There's kind of a process you walk through and there's some staging environments and things maybe we need to test out and try out. So I'm thinking more than I ever thought. Like some people said, AI will make you lazy. And I'm like, man, I don't know if I've thought more in the last 6 months.
It's a ton of learning, right? Like it would be like taking a week off to go take a course in whatever, you know, learn something. You're teaching yourself for the most part, but like you're at home this week or you're at least off work, you're learning a lot of stuff. So, I mean, that's pretty valuable.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's worth trying. And I haven't spent a ton doing it, actually. You know, one $20 plan at OpenAI, and I have maximized that thing. And so anyways, it's been good. Okay, let's get into some gadgets. You have spent some time. First of all, how are things techgadgetsinternational.com, right? That's the site. You've almost gone exclusively YouTube at this point, I'm kind of feeling, right? How are things over there with the old Tech Gadgets International?
I mean, the website, I love my website. But speaking of AI, with all the changes from AI, we're just not getting the visits to the site. So, I mean, people are looking stuff up and, you know, Google or Gemini or AI is kind of feeding them the responses if they're looking for reviews. Here's a concise summary. People don't go to the websites anymore. So I really had to scale back the amount of time and effort I was putting into the website in particular, because I mean, I was just using it to feed AI. And it doesn't benefit me a whole lot that way. So I've just decided to focus on YouTube, and until AI starts generating its own YouTube video reviews, I'll keep at it.
I know. Yeah. Well, speaking of that, we'll have links if you head out to theaverageguy.tv when it's back up and running. We'll have links to all of Aaron's YouTube videos. What's the best way to find you on YouTube at this point,
folks? YouTube.com/AaronLawrenceTV. I am told if you just Google Aaron Lawrence in a lot of cases, or ChatGPT Aaron Lawrence, that it will find the channel. It'll find some of the videos that I'm doing. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Okay. And if you want to check out those, I'll be showing some of those. We'll be talking about them. They'll be in the show notes as well. But Aaron, you've been spending some time with Ring and the new Pro 4K second gen equipment. Let's talk a little bit about that. Like, just full disclosure, I have four Ring cameras. I'm a full Ring subscriber. Yeah. I have Ring integrated in with my Home Assistant. I can get Ring on my phone. I do watch my Ring cams all the time. It comes in on my watch. Big fan of Ring. I pay $100 a year for it, which is super reasonable. Let's talk a little bit about your journey with Ring.
Well, Ring, I've become a very big Ring fan over the years. I think Ring was one of the very first brands that was willing to send me stuff to review when I was just starting out. So I've become super grateful for that. And as a result, I think I've reviewed like almost every product they've ever made. So the big leap for them within the last few months has been they've gone to a whole bunch of 4K cameras. So ultra high definition resolution cameras. They started with, I think, two or three cameras, including the Ring Spotlight Cam Pro 4K second generation plug-in, which was one of the first ones I reviewed. It's a mouthful. But yeah, so they have 4K resolution, which, I mean, I think everybody by now understands that that means it's supposed to be a lot clearer, a lot sharper, more color accuracy, better night vision, faster responsiveness, as long as your home internet's set up to handle that.
Can handle it.
So, yeah. So it's been a really big deal for Ring. And I've been, not that I think I had anything to do with it, but I've been asking for this for years, because I think as good as Ring cameras are, they could use some improvement and some modernization. So I was super happy to find that they had rolled out this new lineup of cameras, and every couple weeks it seems like they're rolling out a new 4K version. So if you're thinking about adding to your Ring arsenal or maybe starting out, yeah, keep watching, because they've got lots of new stuff coming out.
I had someone, I was going back through all the comments I'd gotten on your videos over the last year, and someone was like, Aaron doesn't spend enough time on your show, like actually going into the product, because we try to cover like 8 or 9 products, right?
Right.
So we don't, the reviews are on Aaron's site. Let's just be really clear about that. Our goal here is just to get you interested and then send it over to Aaron for the full review. As you're thinking about reviewing these, I have 1080p. In fact, I just bought the new, I shouldn't say new, but I just replaced my front door cam. Mm. That had been 6 or 7 or 8 years old. And I do like to say, listen, I had Jamie Siminoff on Home Gadget Geeks,
right,
10 years ago before Amazon was even a thing, right? We had Ring on here. And so it's gone way back that long. We put a new doorbell in out front. I just bought the $30 or $40 1080p. Mm-hmm. How much does 4K, we're seeing pictures of this here on the video. How much did you notice a 4K difference as far as, I mean, oftentimes we're looking on our phone or the screen's small. I don't know, your thoughts on, does 4K make a difference?
The short answer, yes. The longer answer is it depends what you're trying to see. So on the whole, I would say the 4K resolution is a lot better. I did a couple of experiments where I sort of had my Ring Spotlight Cam Pro 4K second generation plugin up beside the older version.
Love that.
We're just going to start calling it Spotlight Cam.
No, it's fine. Okay, from here on out.
Yeah, but in case anybody is out there looking for it, that is sort of the full name that you have to use, which, because sidebar, there's like 117 different cameras and products from Ring. So there's lots of different versions. Yes. So side by side, I had the two cameras posted up side by side, and you do really see a difference kind of just on the whole peeking at it. For those who are watching on YouTube, you can see the difference. There's sort of more detail, more color accuracy in the 4K shot. The HD version can kind of look blown out.
Seeing
like look,
that right here, right?
This, yeah.
The left side is the standard definition or HD, and then the right side is the 4K.
Exactly.
And you zoomed in on a squirrel, and it's kind of pixelated. I mean, it's like watching old football, you know, football games from 96 on YouTube, right?
Yeah. So that's where you really start to notice the difference, is if you have to zoom in on something, like a face, or, you know, there's some strange creature in your yard and you want to figure out what it is, the zooming in is where the 4K is vastly superior. So it does make a difference for things like that. And, you know, what helps the Spotlight Cam along is obviously it's got a light. So if it's, you know, dusk or nighttime, any motion is going to trigger those lights to come on, which also helps with, you know, the visualization of whatever you're seeing.
Yeah. Do you think the night vision is significantly better in 4K than it was? I mean, the 1080p, the high def was pretty good, but does it get better with 4K?
It does. And you're right. The night vision and, you know, most of the night, is already pretty good. And they've made some changes over the last few years where they've sort of added better color accuracy to that as well. So it's not just black and white, you know, like you're looking through some kind of military scope. It's actually color visualization.
Yeah. It's good.
And it is better now. And because you get that better resolution, the better color accuracy, and kind of just more light into the picture, it's way easier at night to see what's going on too.
You're showing that you're plugging this in on the screen right now. Do these not have power? That, like, are they powered through a plug, or how's that working?
So this is the thing about a lot of the Ring 4K stuff, is because it's got that higher resolution, it's got a bigger power draw. So a lot of these cameras have to be either hardwired or plugged in. So with this camera in particular, I opted for the plug-in version. I had it a plug right nearby, so it was very convenient. But you can get the hardwired version of this same camera as well. And it depends where you're going to install it, if you've already got the wiring or you don't, or you need to run an extension cord or something.
Yeah.
But I will give you a little spoiler alert, though. When it comes to the doorbells, when Ring started launching 4K products, they only had a wired doorbell available. Until about 3 or 4 weeks ago, they announced they now have a battery doorbell available. So there is now starting to be 4K battery products available. As far as I'm aware, it's just the video doorbell. But I think maybe that is coming.
When I replaced my original doorbell, like, I have the very first, or very close to the very first, and it was wired, but it was a battery. I never really set it up right, so I was swapping out the batteries all the time.
Mm.
When I went to this $40, again, super cheap, $40 1080p, you can get those for like a nickel at this point. They're super cheap. Set into the wire, figured out the right way to wire it in, and without a battery on the front door now, it is so great to go without batteries.
Yeah.
So that's a nice thing. I noticed I have, my garage is solar and my backyard is solar. Everything else is wired, right? Inside the garage is wired. And then what would be the fourth one? The doorbell. Everything, I'm down to two solar. So does that mean in the future here, if I'm going to go 4K, I'm going to need to provide power? Is there a solar option anymore, or is it plug it in or battery?
Not yet for solar. That was a big disappointment for me when I was checking out the lineup, is I did want that camera, the Spotlight Cam Pro 4K second generation plug-in. I did want that to be solar powered, because I do have it up in an area where it catches the sun really well. And so far, no solar option available. But I mean, the sheer fact that Ring has the doorbell already now ready with battery is, I think, a huge leap forward. So I do think we'll probably see that coming along in the next year or two. And for all I know, maybe they've got it ready and they're just like gripping this stuff out as we go through 2026.
The thing that made me change my front door was not functionality. The plastic that went over the camera had started to peel away. And then when we peeled it off, it was all fuzzy. Right. It's separated from itself.
It had worn,
glue, right? In between there, or whatever that product is. And so I was surprised. I went down to Lowe's and they had, like I said, it was $40 or $30. It was cheap. It was super cheap to go standard. Even it's HD. I say that word standard, but I just kind of mean HD on that one. I was even surprised on how that new camera, how the night vision was so much better.
Mm-hmm.
The field of view was so much better. Again, because I had that original, or very close to original, door cam from the early days. And it's actually picking up more things now, because now the front door cam is actually picking up bars that are yeah. that are on the street, right? Does the 4K, does that get even worse on the 4K with its ability to see more things? Are you getting more do you notice that? Are you getting more notifications or anything like that?
Not so much, because you can dial all that stuff in. So you can tell it now, and especially on more of the newer cameras, you can say, like, alert me if a person walks up, but not if a car drives up. You know, don't let me, if you just detect motion and it's not a person, like it's an animal, I don't need to know. So you can really dial in what you want alerts for, which I think is really, I mean, Ring's always been great at that, the customization. The other thing that Ring has done, which is, I think, really impressive, is they've given the cameras the ability to recognize more things. So now the push notifications will come in and it'll say, like, we recognize there's a person with a package at your doorstep. So it tells you exactly what it's seeing. It's not just, hey, there's motion, or hey, there's a person. It gives you context for what you're seeing. And it's gone even further. So I think you need the highest tier of Ring membership for this, but you can actually program it to recognize family members. So you can assign names to the people that frequently come and go and get notifications that says, hey, Aaron's home, or Roger's at the door. And then, you know, you can choose basically whether or not you want or need those alerts. So like, if you don't need to know if your husband is coming or going from the house or whatever, but you do want to know what time your kids get home, you can have it give you those notifications. So, I mean, the AI is getting smarter and smarter. There's also a new feature they added in the last year or so called Smart Search, where it used to be you had to go through and you had to figure out, well, what day could something have happened? Like, when was that package supposedly dropped off? And you can tell it to search for things. So find person carrying a box at front door, doorbell within the last 30 days. And it'll just pull up all those videos into a list for you. And further to that, like, I've tested it with things like, you know, person in pink shirt. So like if a child ever went missing and it's like the child was last seen wearing a pink shirt and a red hat, you could put that into your doorbell or your exterior cameras, you know, pink shirt, red hat. And if your doorbell caught that child, you could see. So you could actually view that. You don't have to go through all of the footage manually like you used to do. So there's some pretty amazing innovations that Ring has been doing over the last couple of years. And it's making it, I think, a lot more useful, a lot more user-friendly.
Yeah. And to be clear, it comes with a subscription. So
yes. Like,
that goes beyond, I mentioned, I think I pay $100 a year to have a certain number of cameras and whatever, which works great for me. They rolled out those features to everybody for free. You could try them for 30, 60 days. Sarah, my wife, was like, this is amazing. Like, I could, you know, because it was picking up all those, you know, dog walked across, a deer walked across your lawn, whatever, right? And then it was like, do you want to pay for it? I'm like, no, I don't think so. So it does require an extra subscription. You know what doesn't, though, is Roger. I saw him in the videos. He made an appearance. Tell Roger thank you for appearing on the videos. I assume he's doing well.
Yes, he's doing very well. He is a reluctant participant in most of my videos.
I was going to say, how does he feel about being a model, like, for you on all your videos? Because I see him on a lot of them.
Yeah. I do always ask him still, like, to this day. I'm like, are you okay if I use this video of you, like, walking through the yard first thing in the morning?
That's great.
just to make sure he's cool with it. And I always. Mean, he's basically given me blanket permission. Yeah. Like, great. You know, don't show me doing anything stupid, but yeah, go ahead.
Right. I'm a big Roger fan, so it's always good to see him on the video. So tell him I said hi and appreciate his modeling on the, on the videos there. Okay, in my case, I'm an HD guy on all my Ring cams. They're all a couple of 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 years old. They work great. I've got them situated in all the places that I want. Is the 4K compelling enough to start making the change, or should I just wait for a change out? Your thoughts on these Ring cams and some of the new offerings?
Not to duck the answer directly, but it depends what you need them for. I think if you're just someone who's, you know, got some cameras up around your house just in case you don't have any major security needs or any big concerns. You probably don't need to upgrade right now. Do what you did with the doorbell. Wait for, you know, for something to break or something to stop working before you do that upgrade. If you are someone who does have some more concerns, if you do have, you know, kids in the neighborhood that you want to keep an eye on or your own kids, if you want to, you know, do things like zoom into license plates or, you know, get a lot more fine detail about what's going on around your house, maybe you live somewhere where you get a ton of wildlife around and you just want to post those videos online. Like those are good cases to upgrade to 4K. I think probably for the average user, it's probably not necessary unless something compelling happens or unless you catch it on a really good sale. I know we just had Amazon Prime Day. So like when those cameras are discounted, probably a really great time to upgrade. Yeah. I would say it really does depend. If you're always checking the cameras and you're using that video for purposes, if you've got a bad neighbor that you're keeping an eye on and you need evidence for your court case, go for the 4K. Otherwise, I think the rest of us are good.
I mentioned I've got one inside the garage for the garage door. I've got one over the garage door for the driveway. I've got one in the backyard. And then of course the doorbell. I think I am in a situation where I'm just going to keep what I've got until they break. That's just kind of like until they stop being the backyard, you know, okay, it's pretty safe. Like, but I can see the whole backyard from where it's at, right? The driveway one, maybe it's, it, man, I tell you what, south facing and it just gets a ton of sun. And I love the soil. It's got a battery in it, but I've never, ever, ever done anything to that thing. Although that would be the candidate to plug in. I've got power right there. So okay. I can run, right? The one in the garage already plugged in doesn't have batteries. So that one is good. Of course, the doorbell now is wired in and I have a chime, which by the way, the chime is underrated. Like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you get one of these, I think, do you have a chime? Have you gone that route?
I have a couple actually. And the wired 4K video doorbell comes with a new chime product, which I believe is actually called officially the Chime Mini. And it's a weird little product. You wire it into the ding dong chime in your hallway and it acts as basically as a speaker for the doorbell. And sorry, not a speaker like you can talk to it, but it plays the ding dong sound for you. Right. So it's a weird little product and it doesn't seem like it's something you need. And it's kind of confusing to install. And if you don't install it right, your doorbell won't work.
Yep.
So I did a video about like, here's how you put this together and here's how it works and here's what it's supposed to be for. And by the way, if anybody wants to email me, if this is all confusing and it's not working for you, here's my email address. So just send me an email. Hundreds of emails from people who are buying this product and are just like, it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. It's weird. Yep. Like, what are we doing? Yep. And then the 4K battery doorbell came out and it doesn't have the little mini chime.
Right.
So that's the mini chime. Okay. The chime, which is like, ring, come on. Like, we need different names or something. I don't know. But the chime, the plug-in chime,
the big chime,
is genius. I love it.
Great.
And you can change the sounds for holidays. You can make the doorbell sound whatever you want. And it's easy to hear pretty much all around the house. So love that product. You're right.
Yeah, it's great. And I have even the extender because I was having some trouble with getting it, you know, in all the different spots. And I picked up one of those. It was great. They have worked out really well. I know I sound like a fanboy, but it has worked. And listen, Arlo and all the Chinese stuff, I'm sure that works great for you and what you got out there. But certainly I have definitely kind of zeroed in on the Ring stuff and it has been great. It was amazing when we changed the front doorbell, how often I checked the camera then. And then the Ring integration with Home Assistant is incredible. Yep. And so I've got a four column dashboard and one whole column is just my Ring cams and you can just click
Google
on
Home
them
Assistant?
No. This is the Home assistant. Yeah, sorry.
How did your AI do that?
The regular, whatever, home assistant.
Got it.
Again, names. You can set up dashboards, and they have three or four column. In the four column, with my four cameras all in a row stacked up on each other, you just click on them, they open up, it goes live instantly. Amazing. So that's
been good. Same with the Amazon Echo or Echo Show lineup of devices. It'll when somebody rings the doorbell, it automatically pops it up on my office Echo Show.
A little slow, right?
It is a little slow. I think I'm at the point now where we've really got to upgrade our Wi-Fi. Like if we add any more 4K cameras, like we're already hitting our max of what our router can handle.
How many cameras on the property do you think you have at this point? I know you I set them up for review.
Probably have 10 or 12. Okay. Yeah. Well, and that's true, right?
You're like overwhelming your Wi-Fi.
I am. And I'm not concerned about security at all. But what happens is like I put them up to review them and then I'm like, well, why would I take it down? Like, why not just leave it there?
For sure.
So we've got every square inch of our property covered and then some. So
yeah. No, that's awesome. And they've been good. They've been good products for me. They've worked for me. This new doorbell went in, but I had your experience too, where they send you this wire that you're like, okay, it's like, put this on your Chime. And I was like, what do you mean? And then
for a while
I left it off and I was like, I don't need this. And then it stopped working. I was like, oh, maybe I do need this. So I got it installed and everything started working again. So friends, make sure you're following the instructions that Ring sends you. We did contemplate going 4K at this point, but there's like three or four times the price. And I was just like,
they're pricey.
Justify, you come up to our front door, you got to kind of come through a gauntlet so far to get there, right? Then we have a package box that sits right in front of the door that we expect them to put the thing in. The camera is right in front of them. Like it works perfectly for us. And so the HD was just fine, right?
Yeah.
But even the upgrade HD, the night vision got significantly better. Like it's almost day. Like you're like, this is scary, right? How good it is. And in fact, when I've got those LePro whole home lights that, you know, that you put on the, like they're the Christmas lights, except they're meant to be up all year.
If permanent outdoor lights, do we call them?
If those are on, I almost can't see anything.
Yeah.
It's too much light, you know. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they've done some really good job. I mean, Ring's always been good about giving updates to everyone. They're not kind of gatekeeping those updates. When they've got something new, they roll it out to all of the older cameras that are able to support it. So you get access to a lot of those features, at least temporarily for something like the AI recognition and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Aaron, let's switch gears a little bit. You know, okay, you and I have talked a lot about robot lawnmowers. Like you were early, you had a Husqvarna early, like long time. Do you still have that original Husqvarna?
No. I sold it to somebody who was very excited about digging boundary wire into their yard and setting up the Husqvarna. So I had it for about 5 years.
Why would you? Yeah, you did. You've been trying out, I'm sure you've been trying out new stuff. You've got a new one coming out. Talk a little bit about what you've been looking at.
Yeah, I got a chance to review and still have operating in my yard the Ecovacs Goat A3000 LiDAR Pro robot lawnmower.
Incredible name.
So the big innovation with this one, well, there's several, but the big innovation with this one is it's got a built-in edge trimmer. So I think by now we're all familiar with the fact that robot lawnmowers will cut your lawn for you, right? That's fantastic. This one does cut your lawn, but it's also got an edge trimmer on one side. So what it does is it'll go out and cut the lawn for you and then kind of separately and afterwards it goes around and does the trimming. So when I first got this robot, I kind of thought like, oh, it cuts and trims all at once. Like when it hits a tree or a boundary edge, it'll just trim that while it's cutting the lawn. It doesn't. It needs kind of separate operations to do the cutting versus the trimming. But it does a pretty good job. It trims better on things that are kind of at a 90-degree angle. So it's not not quite as good on things like trees unless you properly kind of make a boundary for it and tell it, like, I want you to trim right around this in particular.
Like sidewalks is what you're talking about, that edge that's perpendicular to it.
Yeah, and that's what it works best on. So along my driveway, along the sidewalk, it does a fantastic job of edging. It's struggling right now with some of the trees, but I also think that's because I didn't quite make the boundary around the trees just the right size. Like,
it's,
you kind of need to help
straight
it
up and down, right? So in other words, you got to make a hard boundary for it. So
yes, exactly. So I mean, as a lawnmower, holy crow, is it fantastic. It's so easy to set this up. So you basically connect it to your phone, and then you can either drive it around the edges of your lawn yourself using a virtual joystick in the app and basically just like tell it this is where the edge is, or you can do something called, it's basically virtual mapping, I guess. I forget the name.
Self-discovery, right?
Yeah. And you just tell it, like, find your way around and you follow it around and make sure it stays where it should be. And it'll create the map for you, which is super easy. So like almost no work to be done to get this thing mowing your lawn. And then the other thing I really love about it, like, this is probably just a nerdy little robot lawnmower thing, but it'll cut your lawn in different rows, like different directions each week. So you can have it like alternate.
That's not nerdy. That is the way you mow your lawn.
Thank you. Yeah. And it does overlapping lines, like straight rows. Like, I cannot cut my lawn this well.
Right.
Like, this thing nails it every time. Love it.
Straight rows and diagonal. So could I do straight, then perpendicular, and then diagonal?
I haven't seen it do diagonal yet.
Okay. That's the whole, like, that's the, that would be nirvana. If you could get both straight and then in a checkerboard pattern, and then if you could go across that checkerboard pattern.
Oh, like you're talking about in the same push so that you could have like the...
Well, no, even in a
week... Looking like a baseball field.
Even in a week, that diagonal pattern would stay cut into it. And so you would see it all the time. You see both diagonal and straight outlooks.
Right.
Then you know that's a lawn person right there. We're showing it on screen, by the way. If you're watching if you're listening to the audio of this, you'll definitely want to come over to the video. We're showing some of Erin's videos in here. She's showing right now, this is the map setup of it. I think this has gotten pretty standard, right? No more wires, no more guidelines. They're all safe. They don't run into things. So with all the safety features being the same, and I always think they're a little bit smaller than they are. I'm seeing this next to you. That thing's fucking huge.
This one's big.
What sets them apart these days as we're thinking about, like, this mower has the small little blades, which I'm super skeptical of. Do they work? Like, should I? Because some of the newer ones, Yarbo, they've actually got real blades on them, right? You know.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Your thoughts?
I was really surprised. The first robot lawnmower I reviewed with the tiny little blades, basically what they have are big discs on the bottom with, you know, 3 or 6 blades on those discs, and they spin. So the disc spins and then the blades around them spin. And I was like, same as you, because they're almost the size of those, you know, safety razor blades.
Yeah.
They're only an inch or two big.
They're just.
And I'm like, how's that? Yeah. Like, how is that going to cut the lawn?
Right.
Holy Jim. Like, it does such a good job. You can't even believe it. And it's got adjustable height as well. So you can tell it how long or short you want your grass. And the thing about using those spinning discs with the spinning blades is it runs completely silently. So you can cut your lawn overnight. You will not hear a peep.
Would you? Do you?
I have. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have and I do. I don't out front because I basically don't want somebody to run off with it potentially in the middle of the night. You know, think it's funny to just like park it at the up the street.
It's got security features, but still you're like,
yeah.
Do I need
don't
to?
Don't invite trouble.
Right.
Right. But in the backyard, I do. The backyard gets cut at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. From a battery perspective, this is always the most important thing, right? Mm-hmm. You've been doing this a long time. batteries have changed a lot in this time you and I have been talking about these things. Better, worse, or the same as we think about battery life?
Definitely better. One of the issues I had with the Husqvarna was that it was starting to wane, basically. And with something like that, I think you can actually replace that battery. Mm-hmm. But this one, I mean, I can cut... I've got the lawn divided up into kind of four zones. And if truth be told, two of those are my zones and two are my neighbor's. So I'm cutting the neighbor's lawns this summer with device.
Did you move in next to me? Like, that would be the best.
Right? Imagine getting that, like somebody knocking at your door. It's like, hey, would you mind if I cut your lawn all summer? Would that be okay?
Review content. Can I cut
it? It seems so weird, like, especially in this one shot, you can see, like, there's a big stretch that we're sharing with another neighbor. So, like, I feel like I'd be kind of a jerk if I was like, sorry, it's stopping at the property line. Get your lawnmower out, dude.
You jelly? Are you jelly?
So, I've got it divided up into all these four zones. Okay. So, to answer your battery question, it basically will do all four zones on a single charge. I do have it kind of divvied up, though. So, it'll do like one neighbor on one day, the other neighbor on another day, and then my lawn on this day just to.
Is it running all the time? Kicks. Do you have it running all the time?
It runs at least once a day, yes.
Okay. Yeah, because I know like. Some of them are an hour, some of them are maybe 2 hours at most as far as going out. Then they got to come back and recharge. You could, in theory, do a morning and an evening, which, by the way, for grass would be the best. Don't mow in the middle of the day, friends. Friends, don't let friends mow in the middle of the day. You mow in the morning or you mow in the evening. Those kinds of things, right? It's better for the grass. But do you find, okay, so like, are batteries getting better and are the climbing abilities? I didn't see a lot of hills in your yard, but this is the big concern. I have a big hill on my grass. This is what stopped me from doing this. Is I know the early ones couldn't climb anything. Is that getting better? Do you think?
That is getting better. I think this one does, if I remember correctly off the top of my head, it's like a 29 degree slope, which is pretty significant. Like it's, you know, I mean, it's not 90 degrees, but it's pretty substantial. My lawn is pretty flat, so I don't get to test it out that way a lot, but the specs say it should be able to handle steep hills. And part of the reason it can is they've been upgrading the back wheels, like the power wheels in a lot of these. Yeah. They've got kind of big chunky tires and big teeth in them so they can grip and hold themselves into position. So, yeah, I mean, from what I've seen of some other videos around, this one, the Ecovacs A3000, the goat, does do a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, I love how they gave it the goat.
Yes.
In that. One of the things, so what I'm seeing as a trend in these robot lawnmowers is either four-wheel drive, so they've got four wheels instead of just two big ones, and then tracks are the other trend.
Yeah.
Yarbo has gone tracks. There's a few other ones that have gone tracks. Ecovacs is certainly a big name in this space. They've been doing a great job of this. And I think for flat lawns, I'm not sure your mower would make it up my hill. I think I'm going to need a four-wheel drive or tracks to be able to
a
get
little
up
more
that.
Heavy duty.
And then the other trend I saw, and I shouldn't call it a trend, but the other advantage I saw in one is one that had a head on it and it shot grass out like a traditional lawnmower.
Oh.
So instead of it being all like, you know, because I think the trend now is, okay, anybody can cut grass. Can you cut tall grass?
Right.
Can you get in a situation where it hasn't been mowed in a month or two?
Right.
And so I'm starting to see some of these trends shooting it outside to kind of take advantage of like, we can't mulch this. It's just too much.
Yes.
Have you been in a situation? Okay. I mean, you've got these robot lawnmowers. Does your lawn ever get very long to the point where it's maybe too long to be mowed by one of these things?
No, because I cut it so frequently. I have it set up and I know these are basically mulching lawnmowers as opposed to like you said, going in there and chopping down, you know, foot long grass. And in fact, that's one of the things that I have noticed about some of these. I've got the Ecovacs Goat and another brand that I'm just starting to review. And little things will confuse them. So if there's a branch hanging down, like we've got a weeping birch in our yard.
Yeah.
And some of the branches that are hanging down are, you know, 6-10 inches off the grass. It sees those as obstacles. So it'll go around that area, though it's not touching the ground. And then of course the grass starts to grow there. And then it is basically like, well, now it's too long, so it won't cut it. So you have to go out and kind of help it out or trim some of the branches just to help it understand what to cut and what not to.
Do you have a push mower? Or have you gotten rid of all your push mowers?
We do still. Okay. Well, and that's the thing is when you start with one of these, you do have to give it a properly cut lawn to start on. So you do need to cut it. And
Lawn service and you're like, hey, give me one time, pay a little bit more because it's only going to be one time. But then the robot takes care of it.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about the math on that. Like if you get a robot lawnmower, how long before it pays for itself? And it's a lot faster if you pay for a lawn service, obviously. If you're doing it yourself, like, you know, an hour, right? An hour a week, you know, plus the cost of the mower, like I think it takes a lot longer to pay for itself. So it's definitely for people that don't want that job, that don't want to do it and don't want to pay top dollar for someone else to do it.
Yeah. This is the first summer that it's been so hot here. I've said to myself, why don't I have one? Like I've always said, and if you're a longtime listener, you know, I've said every time I talk to you, Sammy, my daughter says to me, Dad, it's the one thing you get exercise on. Why would you take that away? It's your Saturday exercise. Like, and she's right. It's an hour. It's maybe 45 minutes. It's easy. It gets me some exercise on Saturday when I mow it every Saturday, you know, every Saturday afternoon, I mow the lawn. So I've been tempted. And then I think that's $2,000, you know, for these things. I could buy a riding mower for $2,000 in some cases.
Yeah. You know? Wow.
You can get a pretty good riding mower for that. So
yeah.
You know, it's one of those kinds of things. I think eventually as I get older and I'm not able to do it anymore, there'll be a moment where I'll say, I don't care what the price is. I want this thing to mow my lawn.
Yeah. And that's actually a really good use case is for people that just aren't able to mow their lawn. Yeah. I mean, this is very helpful that way. So like for seniors, you know, people with disabilities, like this is really helpful. And I think if you're going to use it for a number of years, which I think you can, it's probably going to be a good investment.
Don't you think they have a 5-year life though? I mean, this has been like, okay, we've been doing this long enough. When you and I first started talking about robot lawnmowers, they were brand new, but that Husqvarna would be now 5 years old for you, maybe 4 or 5 years old. Do you think the batteries will last that long? I don't. I'm kind of like,
no,
that's a big investment
not the
for
batteries.
5 years, right?
Yeah. But I mean, if you could, and again, I guess it depends how much the battery costs, but if you could replace the battery and upgrade it every few years, that might be worth it.
Yeah. That's always my concern. My push mower I've had for 10 years. And you know what? I go out and I pull it and it starts.
Yep.
Like it's gas. I put gas in it. It runs. I change the filter and the oil every couple of years. Good to go. But that's been the other concern on these robot lawnmowers. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? My push mower starts every time.
Well, and the technology, you're right, is changing so fast on these. Yeah. I think the first one I reviewed, you know, you had to dig the boundary wire and you had to set it up and it would just kind of bumble its way around, bump into things and cut your lawn at random. And the only way it actually got cut was by bumbling around for long enough that it eventually covered the whole lawn. And that worked. And then we got the basically satellite positioning posts.
Right.
So I think the second or the third robot lawnmower I reviewed, you had to set up a satellite post called an RTK station. Yep. And you had to have clear line of sight to the southern satellites. And if your house was in the way or there were trees in the way,
out of luck.
It's not going to work.
Right.
And I went through that with a mower I reviewed last year. I was trying to get it set up in a different area of the yard. I wanted it in the backyard instead of the front. And it just will not find a signal. I've tried for days to get a signal for it, and it's just not working.
No worries. You don't have an intruder there, do you? No, nobody's coming in. Okay.
My dog is the best guardian. Yes.
It's all good. It's all Absolutely. Dogs are allowed on the podcast. So it's super, it's super great. Well, Aaron, it's something I keep my eye on. I think if there was any year I almost pulled the trigger this year. And then again, I was like, well, I'll just hang tight. I, every time I mow the lawn, like now I have to, as I'm mowing it, there's a couple times I just stop, catch my breath. Like, okay, you know, I have a big hill and it takes the wind out of me to get up, you know, up and down those hills. So there may come that time. One of the things that doesn't take the wind out of me, and you and I have different opinions on coffee, but you reviewed, and listen, one of the things you and I agree on are Nespresso, right?
Yeah.
And I have an old school Nespresso. I'm still using the, how do you pronounce this? Virtuo? Is that how you pronounce it? Those are the round pods as opposed to the kind of, I don't know what you call the originals, right?
I call them dome shaped. And then I find the original pods kind of look like little cups almost.
Yeah, something along those lines. Nespresso has made it a lot longer than I thought they were going to in this space. They have this Nespresso Pop Plus.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about this thing.
Yeah. So this is relatively new, maybe in the last year or two. I finally broke down and bought one because I wanted to try it and see what's what. So it's meant to be one of the smaller Nespressos in the Virtuo line, which, like you said, is that sort of dome-shaped, higher quality coffee capsule. It's just kind of a simple little machine. It does, I think, 5 or 6 different sizes. So everything from those single espressos to, you know, the bigger kind of cups of coffee. And yeah, it's just meant to be a small, compact Nespresso Virtuo machine, because a lot of the Virtuo line is actually quite large. They're sizable. They've got a big footprint on your counter. So this is the opposite of that. It's a great machine. I mean, I really like Nespressos. I think you and I have had this conversation over the years where I was like, I will not. Capsules, no. And then I spent a week at my aunt's house and she had a Nespresso machine and I tried the coffees and I was like, you know, this is good.
Yeah. It's all good. It's all good. Don't worry about it. It's all good. The you're showing on the screen, you're showing the pods. That like Nespresso still continues to have an amazing variety in the coffees that you get. I oftentimes get the Blanco, which is just a straight coffee. I'll get the chocolate or the hazelnut. Just recently, my wife kind of came back to the pour over ice coffees that have lately, the ice coffee trend has come to Nespresso. And then I use their espresso pods to make lattes. And I bought a little, you know, foamer. I've gone through a couple different milk foamers over the years. The one I have recently was a little $35 foamer that works great. Just to got, you know, it put milk in and it makes foam. That's all you're really looking for.
That's all
for,
you need.
Right? From that standpoint. But I think one of the things, and you know, Nespresso has had to follow the inflation trend. So, you know, when I started doing this years ago, 6, 7, 8 years ago, they were $1 a pod and they're $1.45 or $1.35, depending what you get right now. But $1.35 cup of coffee, that's really good.
When Starbucks is like $4, $5, $6, $7, depending on what you're getting, like it does feel like a bargain.
Yeah. No, right on. Now don't get me wrong, I'm still perking coffee. I just bought a new Stanley perk. That's stovetop. It's in a Stanley, guaranteed for life. Kind of one of the, I had no idea Stanley was making those. And I was the perk that I had bought before was a $16 perk. And by the way, you could still buy it for 16 US. That'd be 10,000 in Canadian dollars.
Yes, obviously. Right?
But And I was like, you know, and so I was going to go with a $35 one, and I saw the Stanley for $40, and I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Why not?
No, right on. Built well. But there's nothing that beats, we're showing on the screen there, but kind of nothing that beats, and I haven't had a Keurig in 1,000 years, but man, espresso coffee, it's really good and super convenient, don't you think?
Yeah. And they've got so many different like partnerships. So I like Starbucks coffee.
Yeah.
So I can buy the Starbucks pods, the virtual pods anyway they make. So I mean, if there's a coffee you like, you know, chances are that Nespresso's partnered with them and you can get it. So I like that. The only thing this machine doesn't do, you talked about frothing milk and foaming milk.
Yeah.
This is meant to be kind of a very simple machine. So it doesn't do the milk. It does only do the coffee. But I mean, quite often I see these machines bundled with one of those milk frothers the little hand frother, whatever you prefer. So you've got options depending on what you want for that.
This has an app? Like, okay, I'm old school. In fact, the two units I have are at least 6 or 7 years old. No apps. I have one at work too that... Then we got Nespresso work machines, which have even different kinds of pods. They're flat and they're foiled, and you just drop them in. They almost look like a wafer.
Right.
You drop them. I know they do that, so you don't take them home. Right. I know that's why they do them that way. Right. But so my machine doesn't have Wi-Fi. I saw this one does. What does that get you?
I wish I could tell you, Jim. It didn't work for me. Although I will say I'm reviewing now another new Nespresso machine. I haven't posted it on the channel yet, called a Virtuo Up, which also has Wi-Fi. And essentially what it's supposed to allow you to do is adjust your drink sizes per capsule. With some of the machines like the Up, you can adjust the brewing temperature, not with the Pop Plus. So I couldn't get the machine, the Pop Plus, to connect to Wi-Fi, try as I might. So that affected its final review for me. But
what would you expect from it? Like, what do you like? For we have some Mira, I think is the name of it. Mira coffee machines. They're super high end. They're European, and they have milk. You know, they have actually a milk reservoir in them, and you could put any kind you want. And it's all touch screen, and you can have it make Americanas or lattes or Frappuccino. I mean, it'll make all these different kinds of coffees. And it's got an app, and you can pre-order your coffee on the app. So when you get to the machine, you just say, make it, put your cup there, and it does, you know, it's got beans, so it grinds and stuff like that. This is an espresso. Like, what can it do besides make the coffee?
Well, and it can't even make the coffee. I mean, it didn't work for me at all on the Pop Plus. Right. But even with the new Virtuo Up that I'm trying, you can't connect to the app if the machine's not turned on. So if the machine times out and, you know, shuts down, you can't go on the app and suddenly fire it up. You have to physically go to the machine. So, and I mean, plus with the capsules on Nespresso, like, unless it's, I mean, maybe that's the next innovation, right? It's got a little capsule holder beside it and the little mechanical arm comes down and it's going to load it and then make your coffee for you. I suppose maybe that's what they're setting up for. But right now, honestly, Jim, all the app does is make adjusting some of the settings slightly easier.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
and what are those settings? Like, isn't it just putting water through the, Okay. All right. Well,
water and
Nespresso,
temperature.
Don't overkick your coverage on this thing. Like, I literally put a pot in, hit a button, and it.
One button.
One push. And if you push it 3 times, it cleans it. Like, it's that easy. This is one of those things as I was thinking about it. I was like, what are we
doing
that
for? I do think they're setting the table for something in the future. Okay. In all honesty, with the new Up machine, you can use the app to adjust the temperature, but it's only like warmer or cooler. And then to adjust the volume to shorter or taller.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of easier than some of the settings. Sometimes if you need to adjust things on an espresso machine, it gets pretty complicated. You've got to like push this button 5 times and then stand on your head and then push it 3 more times rapidly before it'll go into whatever mode. And then you're like, stop. So
tap your head and rub your belly.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It would be nice if adjusting those settings was a lot easier. It is with the up. Like I said, I couldn't get it to work on the Pop Plus. I'd love to hear if anybody watching this has a Pop Plus and has successfully connected it, because you could tell me what it's supposed to do. I never got to find out.
I love the coffee. The work machines, which are significantly more expensive, and it, like I said, different pods, but they give you the option when you put a pod in. It's like, do you want to brew more? And so you can push a button and get it to run more water through the same pod, right? So you can get a little more coffee in that.
Yep.
Since we've gotten the Mira machines at work, man, nobody's using the Nespresso. Everybody's going to the Mira. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And it's just a different, I mean, it's a whole different experience.
Mm-hmm.
What's ironic is I still go to the Mira machines, but I don't use the milk feature. I just have it make me a full cup of coffee, and it gets me the full thing out of there, where the Nespresso is kind of limited to maybe an 8 ounce cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. I want a full 12 or 16 ounces.
Yeah.
Like a cup, because I'm going to drink that in like 10 minutes.
Those are possible. They do make pods that will brew, is it 10, 12, and a full carafe of coffee now? And that new up machine that I told you I just started testing is actually, I think, the only virtual machine that can handle, it's either 7 or 9 sizes now of coffee. So it can handle the full range of bigger cups, whereas some of the older ones like the Pop Plus can really only handle, I think, up to 7 ounce cups.
Yeah. I think this is one of those with Nespresso, right? They were their own company. The guys that started this, we actually, in the early days, we were on this early. Sarah got to talk to one of the owners. She called in like the day before Christmas. We were looking for something, and one of the owners answered and was like, hey, yeah, I fill in on Christmas because it gets so busy kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
And so she got the whole story. They were kind of coffee snobs, and they wanted better coffee, right, from that perspective. But they're kind of they got bought by Nestle. So they're not, Nespresso is now Nestle.
Right.
But Nestle's kind of let them run their own plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really enjoyed it. Do you, do you use they give you a bag that you can get? Do you recycle your pods that way? Or does your city have a way to? Okay, I do too.
We do not. Yeah, our city recycling program they're too small for. So I do get the bags, and I do dutifully send them in or take them to a drop-off point. And I don't know what happens to them after that, Jim. I like to think they've gone to a better place, but
we put them in a UPS in the US. They go into a UPS bag. I drop them at work.
Yeah.
They're out of my hands. Yeah. So I'm hoping they're going someplace and not getting dumped in the ocean, you know, type deal. Okay. One more, let's just change the subject one more time. This surprised me a little bit. You got an opportunity to look at a drone, a hover drone.
I did.
And I'll bring that up here. This is the Hover Air X1. Talk a little bit about this. How'd you come across this? And is this your first foray into drones?
First foray into drones, which you'll see in the opening shot here. I drove it right into the floor a couple of times, actually. So I don't play video games, Jim. I'm not like the joystick.
We don't judge you. We don't judge here, Aaron. We don't judge. Yes, you're fine.
Thank you, friends. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. I know I'm among friends here. I was at IFA Berlin, the tech show in Germany last year, and happened to bump into this booth. And they were showing this drone, which basically just kind of hovers, hence the name Hover Air. It just hovers there and it'll follow you. Like, it's kind of meant to be an automated drone. So I was watching them demo it and I'm like, man, this seems like something I could get behind, because apparently you don't have to know how to fly it. So the company was willing to send me one. So I got it. And the first few times I tried to fly it, I was trying to fly it manually, which was probably my first mistake. And I'm just like, I can't figure this out. Like, left is right, up is down. Like, I can't make it do anything. And then I got into what I think is the best use case of this drone, which is it will fly itself. So it's got a handful of different flight modes. And all you do is you sort of push the button on top of the drone and tell it what mode you want, and it'll just go do it. So if you want like a bird's eye view of wherever you are and what you're doing, hit bird's eye, it flies up, it hangs out up there for about 30 seconds, comes down, lands right on your hand. All you have to do is hold your hand out and it will land right on your hand. So it gets great like bird's eye shots. It's got all those cool effects where, you know, the drone moves while it's adjusting the focus. So it gives you that like vertigo effect. It'll do like spirals around and it'll follow you. It'll follow you indoors. It's got, gosh, I don't know how many, 10 maybe preset effects, and they work really, really, really well. And then if you want to try to fly it manually, because you're better at that stuff than I am, you can have full manual control as well. You can control it with your smartphone, which I actually did not have very good luck at. But you can also buy a joystick for it, like a physical controller that comes with a little screen and the little knobs and stuff. And you can fly it yourself if you've got, you know, more confidence. And it works really well. Like I spent a good probably 4 months with this drone before posting my review, which is a long time for
me. It is a long time.
And it's because I struggled, not because I struggled with the product, because I was very unfamiliar with this category of product. There's a lot to learn, and between like the controller and how you have to connect to it and the device itself and the things that it'll do, there was really a lot to learn for me. I think someone who has even a little bit of experience or like plays video games even a bit would be like, lady, get on the train. But yeah, I came to really, really love it, to the point now where anytime I'm reviewing a car, the drone comes with me. There's lots of great things I can use it with. The audio, I will say, is not great on it. I was hoping, really hoping, you can see me if you're watching the video. I'm kind of walking and talking and the drone's following me around my yard. And I thought this would be the best. Like if I could have this drone following me around while I'm doing my on-camera segments for my video reviews and I'm just walking and talking, it would be so great. But the audio quality is really not good. And if there's any kind of wind, like you're not going to get much out of it. So,
but you could lapel that and then bring that audio, that separate audio into your video, right? If you wanted to mix it that way, right?
Yeah. There are certainly ways to hack this.
If you're for a content creator, you would not take the video off the drone. You would wear a lapel, record them separately, do a little clap to make sure they're in sync, and then bring that separate audio in on. I think this is a content creator's dream, to be honest.
Yes.
Because it's kind of set it and forget it. Put it in. I've seen it. We're watching it follow you in this hallway.
Yeah, and very narrow hall. You can
concentrate on the content and not have to be worried about where the drone is going. Now, you're taking the drone footage based on its AI and all that other stuff that it's doing, whatever it's doing, right? But so far, as I'm looking at some of these videos, I'm like, this is actually, from a content creator standpoint, really, really good. Like you said, anytime you're doing a car review, you throw it up there and then at some point tell it to do a circle around, right? Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's great for that stuff. I mean, great for sports, great for landscapes and scenics. So if you're like a travel content creator, this would be great. Yeah, like any kind of scenic shots, it's just a dream at. Now, one of your listeners makes a really good point in the chat, which is there's lots of laws and regulations around where you can and can't fly these. And that ended up being a big consideration for me. I had all these dreams of taking these cars that I'm reviewing out to the provincial park or the national park, out to Banff, getting scenic shots, amazing, epic video. No, you can't. So, and even in a lot of municipalities, you technically can't fly a drone.
Right.
So that's not what I'm doing in this video. But
State parks here in the U.S., same thing, right? State parks. Yeah. I watch a lot of video creators who are like, this was not recorded inside the state park.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
So there are a lot of rules, and I found that it was very difficult to find places where I could legally, I guess I'll say, where I could fly it. So that's a bit of a challenge. If anybody is thinking about getting a drone, you can't kind of just take it anywhere and use it at will. I mean, you can. You might find yourself in trouble for that at some point. I don't actually know anybody who's, you know, had somebody knock on their door. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, though, and she said her kids were flying a drone around their neighborhood, which is not far from here, and they lost it. Like, it fell out of the sky, or it crashed into something, and they had no idea where it was. They had engraved the name and phone number on the drone, and a day or two later, get a very angry call from some person that it almost landed on them. So it hit something and then like almost landed on him. Now, I don't think it was a huge drone, but he was like, you know, I'm going to call the city and I'm going to call the police and like, I'm throwing this drone in the garbage and you should know. And fair ball, right? Like,
no, for sure.
Yeah.
And people worried about like privacy, you know, are you buzzing this around my house and looking at my windows? And, you know, just until this moment, I never thought about that. Like, yeah, you know, you could just zip that around and, you know, run that in front of somebody's window or whatever.
Run it up the side of an apartment building. I mean, the thing about them is that I think they're still loud enough that people know when you're flying one. I was doing a little test flight around my house before I was like, you know, looked up the law and was like, stop. And like, there were two kids that were just kind of riding by on their bikes and they're like, wow, because they heard the drone buzzing past. And so they came over to see what's going on. And then they're like, wow, you have a drone. I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah. We used a drone in our building. We have a big atrium in our building. We actually hired a student who was a drone racer, and we brought him in this was years ago now, but to run this drone, to do some filming in the building for this event that we were doing. Right. And so it was, you know, again, inside a building, I think you're okay there, but certainly from a, you know, I do love the shot while I'm watching it right now. I've taken it off the screen, but in your own yard, you know, a 20-foot shot type deal seems pretty reasonable if you're keeping it around you. You know, maybe you're out in a public space and it's going up. You showed the spiral version of going up. Dan bust out in chat says, he goes, and we want flying cars.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
That's why the autonomous flight, I think, works so much better. Right. Because, and I mean, it never crashed when it was flying on its own. It crashed several times while I was trying to fly it.
So. When you were trying to fly it, right? From that perspective. Yeah. Is this something you'd use more often? You said this, but is this something you'd use more often in your content creation aside from the licensing and the airspace issues? Would you use it more in some of the things that you're doing?
I'm trying to be creative about thinking how to use it. I did use it in a robot vacuum review while I was testing it. And it actually, it gave some good perspective shots because it kind of has a wide angle lens. So you can see it kind of, you know, the robot vacuum cleaning all around. And I think I'm a bit lazy about doing the whole like record the audio, marry it to the video.
Yeah.
I am a very low lift content creator. I also worked in TV as a day job once upon a time. And I know that stuff is all possible. But like for me today, I'm just like, if the audio doesn't sound good, I'm probably not going to use it for on cameras. But I am trying to be creative about where and how to use it. And I did want to use it on my lawnmower review. But the weather was just, it was so windy and rainy and cold and miserable that I just never got a chance to. So I will keep using it and I quite like it. It's the Hover Air X1
Pro Max.
Thank you. It's not Pro right Max. In front of me. So I do really recommend it. And I think I think, do what I didn't do, which is spend some time researching the product. And when it comes, start with the automated stuff. Don't grab the joystick and the controls and be like, yeah, I'm going to fly it. Yeah. Get a feel for it first and then kind of advance and grow. I think I intimidated myself into like, this doesn't work. It's stupid. I can't fly it. It's not user friendly. And I went into it bass backwards, as they say.
So. Yes, they do. They do. Well, it's good advice. I think sometimes, depending on your age, you might want to go manual first, because that's what we were taught. You always go manual first.
Yeah.
And then let it do its thing.
Yeah.
And I think we might be to a world where you go automated first.
Yeah.
It may be smarter than you. Sorry, I know some of you are yelling at me right now, like, no, I'm smarter.
Well, but don't get me started on self-parking cars, which I have also been reviewing, because the self-parking is,
A little wanting, maybe?
I had the last car review that I just posted. Oh, my God, and it's escaped me which one it is. But yeah, I was testing the self-parking on it, and it almost hit another car before it like slammed to a stop.
Yeah.
And then it kind of abandoned the whole park, like half in, half out. And it was just like, I'm out. And I was just like,
peace out. So, I'm out of here. Where did it go?
It just stopped. It just put itself in a park. It was half in and half out and like on a weird angle in the middle of a parking lot.
Yeah.
And it was just basically like, nope, not going to do it. You take over. So I had to, obviously move it. It's not a big deal, but sometimes the automation is not is not ready for prime time.
Right on. I think we worry about the machines taking over, and then you spend a week with AI and you're like, I think we have some more time. You're like, I watched the interesting thing is I watched the way it codes. You can in Hermes, it gives you all the things it's doing, which is kind of nice. It kind of walks you through the process. And I can kind of recognize when it's gotten stuck, and you're like, it has no idea where it's at the moment. Yeah. And you want to chime in. You're like, can I help you? I think I know the answer. I think I can help you at this point. And then you're like, well, I'll just let it figure it out. So anyways, hey, what's coming up? TechGadgetsInternational.com. What are you excited? Anything you're reviewing that is coming up soon that you could get folks excited about?
I've got more Ring cameras. 1, 2, 3, 4 more cameras. So it's gonna be like 14 cameras around the house now. lots more from Ring's new lineup. So that's pretty exciting. I've got a couple new Kindles. I've got the new the Kindle e-reader and then the Kindle Scribe Color Soft, which are here on my desk.
You like those so far? Are they so good? Or are they just regular?
They are e-ink. The reader is e-ink, and I'm just gonna see if I can
future is in e-ink in some way. It may not be the way we're doing it today, but the low power of e-ink and the way it does stuff. I mean, sitting on my desk is a 7-inch Fire from 1,000 years ago.
Yep.
It just finally gave up the ghost
The
Wi-Fi. Yeah, the Wi-Fi stopped working. Like I don't know if it burned out. I mean, I reset it. I did all the things you're supposed to do. Nothing. But I'd love to have, you see these e-ink devices and you're like, man, for reading, I don't know if you can beat it. No glare?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Nope, no glare, adjustable light. So if you like warmer or cooler light, that's a really great benefit of it.
Right.
I'm excited to see how these new ones perform. I haven't gotten too deep into them just yet. But like in terms of does the page turn action, is it faster now? Because it used to be quite slow and it would like the whole screen would sort of go like boom, boom as it's turning the page. So I'm interested to see if that's kind of been improved now. And Kindle does a good job with the e-readers, certainly. And I reviewed their Scribe tablet, the original Scribe tablet. Gosh, maybe about a year and a half, 2 years ago. So I'm excited to see what this new one does because it's supposed to be kind of like e-reader and digital notebook and, you know, tablet for all intents and purposes. So there's lots going to be to like in this one, I think. So I'm looking forward to really digging in on these ones.
Dan was asking in chat, does the Scribe work well for taking notes?
It does, actually. And it doesn't have that. If you've ever used some of the earlier tablets with a stylus, it's like nails on a chalkboard, right? Like just the writing experience is awful. On these new ones, on the other Scribe that I spent a lot of time with, it's much more natural. Like you almost get that paper pen scratch.
Yeah, that feel of paper.
And I mean almost. That in a good way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm looking forward to it. I've got, those Resistance. Are literally next on my list to really dig into in the next couple of weeks. And especially while I've got some time off coming up. So I'm going to spend some time with that. And then DJI has become my new bestie.
What?
I've got, oh, wait.
Oh.
Sorry, I can't show you that one.
Oh, you did, but. Yeah,
that's okay.
It's gone now.
It's okay.
Gone.
We're not going to talk about what it was. DJI has sent me a couple of cameras. I have another one. And then there's this one. So this is the Osmo Nano, which is like, I wonder if I can power it up here quick.
Did you just pull that apart?
Yep. Camera pulls off from, I may not have it charged. Oh, there it goes. So camera pulls off from the little screen.
Yeah.
So you can point the camera wherever you want.
Yeah.
And you can see everything's happening on the screen. And then it's got all kinds of like clips. So you can clip the camera onto your hat and see what it's seeing. This has been a fun little camera.
That's
so
DJI?
I've been really DJI Osmo Nano.
Osmo
So the full review of that's gonna be coming out.
Okay.
And then I have the DJI Osmo Pocket 4. Which is kind of like a gimbal style camera. So I'm going to have that review coming up.
Yeah, that's more of the stick style, right? Where you hold it and then the camera's on top.
Maybe. Let's find out, Jim.
Okay. Wow, I like it. I like this style right here.
Show and tell. Here it is. Yeah. And the cool thing about this that I've been discovering too. So yeah, it's like the little... Let's see, I may or may not have charged this one. So it's got another little kind of digital screen on it. Let it power.
Is that a gimbal? Is there a gimbal? Is that a gimbal on there as well? Or does that?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just going to see. It might be dead. Oh, the battery's dead. I haven't charged it yet. But yeah, so it'll swivel around and adjust.
Yeah.
I have the.
Yeah, those are nice. Those are nice devices. That is a content creator's dream.
Yeah, these are pretty good. I'm looking forward to these as well. So that was,
and
I had
the. You can see on the screen, on the handle, you see on the screen what the camera is showing. Yeah.
Yep. So that looks pretty cool. And then the cool thing that I like about this already is it comes with a mic. So it's got this teeny tiny little mic. So you're getting audio. You can clip that on. So like
this
we were talking about with
need.
The drone, right?
Yeah. This 100%. Is what the drones need. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to checking out the audio quality with that. And then like, I really like this. There's like a whole package of accessories. There's a light. There's like tripod. Like, yeah. So DJI, thank you to them. They've been sending me lots of really cool stuff. Yeah,
they're doing amazing work. Their camera stuff is pretty great. And so I'm hearing some really good stuff about what they're doing. Bustout had asked in the chat, he said, have you tested out the new Ring PoE doorbell? I didn't even know this existed. Power over internet. Have you? I didn't even know that existed. Does it? Have you seen it?
I have not heard that. Okay. And I have not tested it. But good to know.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that was even a thing. And,
Dan
says in chat, he says, absolutely love writing by hand over digital typing. Fountain pens and paper, by the way, I love the digital ability to search the notes.
Yeah, that is a real boon with those devices is you can hand write in your writing and it will convert it to digital text for you. Yeah. So you don't just have to type it works really well.
Here's notes. This is what I've been doing this week while I've been doing all this AI work.
Yeah.
Still digital notes. Or no, still real notes.
Real notes, yeah.
I got a really good pen Is this a Gallup one? No, I think Sarah bought this for me. She brought this pen to me. She's like, you're going to love this thing. It writes awesome.
Yep.
And there's still something about writing on paper that's pretty amazing.
If
you can get a digital experience, you know, that's why the drag works, right?
Yes.
Because it mimics paper in some ways. And there's still something, I don't know, there's still something about writing on paper. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have this urge to get a whiteboard. Like, I'm like, what I need is a whiteboard down here that I can
digital whiteboard.
I could write things on, you know, and I'm like, you know what? I got a whiteboard right here. I could write stuff here. So it's just funny how we're ingrained to think about these things. Well, Aaron, thanks for spending some time with me. Can you hang around a minute while I close things up here?
You betcha.
So appreciate it. A couple reminders on the way out. One, again, make sure you check it out, techgadgetsinternational.com. And I know Aaron says, like, the website, I hope websites aren't dead. I mean, you've said this and your numbers have proved it. And mine have too, just to be honest with you, you know. YouTube is king. You're having much more luck on YouTube than I am having. This style of content doesn't do as well as it used to on YouTube. I've been thinking, like, longtime listeners know I've thought about, do we stop doing this? But I just love doing this so much. I learn in the process. And we've got some really dedicated folks who listen who I'm like, no, I'm going to keep doing it because I love doing it, right? And so it's an opportunity to do it. But check it out today, techgadgetsinternational.com, or catch Aaron Lawrence TV on YouTube. You can get that out there as well. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern. I say every, but lately it's been every other for the most part. Work's gotten kind of busy. You know how that goes, Aaron. I got a career too, and all of a sudden the career got busy. So about every other week, but join us every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. When that's available, I put it in Discord tonight. Thank you guys for finding us on YouTube, because the site's down at the moment. And I said, hey, join us on YouTube, and you guys found us here. So thanks for doing that. Appreciate you. Appreciate the Patreon subscribers, and of course, all of you who do that on Amazon. We'll be back next week. I'm still trying to fill in a guest for that. Christian Johnson moved one more week, so we'll have him in 2 weeks. I've got to fill in. I'm hoping to get Gavin next week. But so we'll be back next week. Thanks for joining us. For those of you, Kevin, Brian, Bust Out, Dan, Tony, came out. Appreciate you guys for coming out. And with that, we'll say goodbye.
Where the screens glow bright and the Wi-Fi peaks. If you're looking for the tech talk you can actually keep, then settle on in with Home Gadget Geeks.